Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome tonight. Tonight is a episode of Self-Expressions, and this is going to be the sports editions. And I am your host, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson, and I'm standing in the gap of what normally plays this evening, which is Warriors of Christ with Sister Dominique Hudson. I thank you, and thank you so much for joining us this evening for tonight's episode and tonight's special edition of Self-Expressions. And tonight is episode number 980. Wow. Number 980. Sounds like it's a special number, so we have a special program for tonight. And like I said, this is welcome again to Self-Expressions, Pop-Pop Hudson, and this is going to be my sports edition of Self-Expressions. And tonight's title is No Mas. No Mas. Okay? And just for, you know, anyone that's not familiar with the term No Mas, yes, No Mas is actually, translated in its form. It's a Japanese word meaning Christmas. And if you're familiar with the Japanese language, No Mas is actually not a Japanese word. I was just kidding there. And it's actually a Spanish word. And, you know, the English translation is no more, no more. And it was made famous by the boxer Roberto Duran in 1980. In the middle of a fight, Roberto Duran told, the ref, no mas, no mas. And he basically, walked away from the fight. And, I'm going to just describe things culminating up to that point. And basically the scripture that I'm going to, we're going to be referring to is going to be Numbers chapter 11, verses 18 and 20. And, once again, if you have, any pens or pencils or anything, you can write something down. Just take the time out to go ahead and do that. And like I said, we're going to be going over Numbers chapter 11, verses 18 through 20. Just to let everyone know, we thank you for joining the broadcast. And if at any point in the broadcast, whether you're calling online or if you're listening online, you can actually call into the show. And the phone number to call in is 319-527-6091. And you can press the number 1 and we can get you into the conversation. And we thank you so much for joining us tonight for tonight's broadcast and a special edition. And like I said, once again, we're standing in the gap of Warriors of Christ. And I was talking about Roberto Duran, where the second fight between him and Sugar Ray Leonard, and the second fight was, it was just such a huge, huge movement. It made boxing so much more, the pinnacle of being one of the better sports to watch. And what it was, we were talking about, two guys. One was an immovable object and one was an irresistible force, where they faced off against one another. And when they faced off, it was, the first fight was, it was pretty much, cut and dry, who was actually dominating the fight, which was Roberto Duran. And it came at a pivotal moment, and he fought Sugar Ray Leonard. when he fought Sugar Ray Leonard, Sugar Ray Leonard was at the top of his game. He was the guy to beat. You know, and if you, you know, Roberto Duran had a pretty good, impeccable record. And, you know, if he wanted to, you know, remain on top, the guy to beat was Sugar Ray Leonard. So in that first fight, you know, it went the total distance, you know, 15 rounds. Apparently the judge saw that Roberto Duran was pretty much the aggressor from beginning to end, and Sugar Ray Leonard pretty much did not have an answer for any or whatever he did. You know, as soon as he thought he had an answer, Roberto Duran came back, you know, with a different barrage of different, you know, techniques, you know, technical ways to, you know, counteract what Sugar Ray Leonard did. In the end, you know, even though Sugar Ray Leonard was embarrassed and defeated, he decided to take on a rematch with Roberto Duran. However, this fight was a lot different. And this is where I'm going to go on into scripture right now. And I'm just going to pull up, like I said before, that we would go over. Let me make sure I got it right. Okay, we're going to go over Numbers chapter 11, verses 18 through 20. And I'm going to read that verse right now. It says, tell people, consecrate yourself. Get ready for tomorrow when you're going to eat meat. We've been whining to God. We want meat. Give us meat. We had a better life in Egypt. God has heard your whining, and he's going to give you meat. You're going to eat meat, and it's not just for a day that you'll eat meat. And it's not 2 days or 5 or 10 or 20. But for a whole month, you're going to eat meat until it's coming out of your nostrils. You're going to be so sick of meat that you'll throw up at the mere mention of it. And here's why. Because you rejected God, who is right here among you, whining to his face. Oh, why did we ever have to leave Egypt? Amen. And that was Numbers. And just to, you know, give you a little history on Numbers, you know, the first couple of books in the Bible, you know, it talks about, you know, basically the Genesis, the Exodus. And then here in the Numbers, you know, we're talking about why, you know, for 40 years that the children of Israel basically wandered the wilderness. And you wonder why, and then when you hear just that little part where they complain about each and every little thing along the journey, which is, you know, if you know, you would just break it down just from the journey from where they traveled, you know, 40 years, you know, in the wilderness, whereas though if someone who would take a direct path, it would take them 40 days, and you say, well, what's the hang-up, you know? You know, we all have hang-ups. We all have, you know, that moment where we have that holding pattern where we just seem to be going aimlessly, wandering around in circles where we're moving, but we're not going anywhere. Where we want to, you know, we want to have that imitation or that thought of that we're getting something done, but we're really not doing anything. And that's what the children of Israel found themselves in. And, you know, as we go further, you know, it's the same thing where, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard found himself in, where though no matter what he was doing, he still came back to the same equation, that this guy seems to be undefeatable. But the one thing, you know, and I've stated before, you know, on my show, is that, you know, success is certain. You know, especially if you have all the avenues and the corners and the parameters that God has created for us, and you follow through. And that's the main thing, is to follow through. So if you can't follow through no matter what it is and no matter what course you're doing in life, no matter whether you're a businesswoman, businessman, you're, you know, order taker, you're a waitress, doesn't matter what you're doing, but if you're not, you know, in lockstep with God's plan and what he has, there's no way you're going to succeed. It's going against the grain of your very fiber of your being. And so therefore, what you had to do is you had to sometimes sit back and evaluate some of the failures in your life and see if you can make success. You know, during the era where I grew up is, you know, and some of the things that I saw as a young man is, you know, it's kind of crazy because it was counterproductive. It was, you know, okay, this, you know, sit here in front of the television and what you see here, you know, I can step away from my parenting job is something good to watch. But if you look at the cartoons I watched, which was Popeye, and one of the things he would say was, you know, me's had all me's can stand, and me's can't stand no more. Then you pop open a can of spinach, and then, you know, he tears fire the Budo and whatever. But the main thing there is that, you know, he went to his source of spinach. You know, we have to understand that, you know, even though that spinach can be easily interpreted as being a spiritual power, you know, but it's not. That's not what he done. What he done was they changed. Instead of just saying, hey, you can draw on a higher power, you can, you know, walk away and God can fight your battles. They just put it in there and into that whole cartoon where, though, okay, this is not working, go ahead, take this magic can of spinach and just go ahead and just tear fire to this guy, and then, you know, after everything's all over, you can go back to normal. But that's not the case, and that's not the everyday life that we live, but that's what some of the images that I grew up with. And even right now, I can, you know, right now with some of the young folks right now, I know they can understand how unidentifiable some cartoons are right now with life, you know, besides, you know, the one and only cartoon that I would trust, you know, my children and grandchildren to watch was VeggieTales. Because they're, you know, without any kind of hidden meaning or some kind of, you know, repulsive or some kind of topic that I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to touch with the children. Not just that I didn't want to touch with them on it. It was just that the time was not right as far as the age and, so, and in most cases, some of the learning processes. Sometimes it takes us a while to sit back and synthesize and, you know, take in some of the information that we constantly getting, whether it's TV or whether it's adult actions that we're watching. You know, as a child, sometimes the, you know, just the mere interaction of adults and, you know, we're sitting back watching them, sometimes it takes us a while to process what's actually happening. And it's the same thing with, you know, some of these cartoons that, you know, seems to be advancing, you know, the minds of our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren at an alarming rate in the wrong direction. And, you know, I know I'm saying that, and I know I mentioned a cartoon, and I know, yes, you know, cartoons shouldn't watch your children, but there was a time where we had let children sit by the television set, and that was our babysitter, basically. Because there was programs that we could trust. There was programs that we can just say, hey, you know, I can, you know, I need an extra half hour, 35 minutes or whatever to get dinner ready or to, you know, do the laundry or some things like that. And you would say, hey, you know what, let's see if, you know, I can take this moment, this break where my child had the concentration on a cartoon, which all cartoons seem to be harmless at first, when they first came out. You know, we always see the Tom and Jerry, you know, and at the end of Tom and Jerry, even though Tom was trying to eat Jerry, you know, at some point they worked out where they were cooperating, you know, and then sometimes Tom would turn and try to get, you know, eat Jerry again and stuff like that. But there was a whole hidden, not a hidden meaning, but there was a meaning right there that basically was saying that, you know, at one point, no matter how much we don't like each other, no matter how much we want to get at, you know, someone, at some point we're going to have to work together. If we work together, we're going to be a good team. And that's basically was the meaning of Tom and Jerry. But, you know, nowadays a cartoon like Tom and Jerry won't fly because it doesn't have enough controversy, doesn't have enough oomph to grab someone's attention right away. And, you know, like I said, if a revised, you know, version of Tom and Jerry would be to happen now today, it would be pretty good. It wouldn't be what, you know, people expect it, but it would be good enough where the messages and the underlying of teamwork and stuff like that will all work out, you know. And it's like the same thing as getting a little bit more modern, like Thundercats, you know, G.I. Joe and Transformers, where basically, you know, the goal and the message was, let's cooperate. Let's see if we can get things done. You know, let's see if we can help one another, you know, along our way of what we want to do. And just to let you know, you're listening to Self-Expression. We're on Blog Talk Radio at www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. And if you're online and you want to join the show, you can call in at 319-527-6091. You just press #1 if you want to start a conversation with me. And, you know, just getting back to my main topic, was no mas, no mas. And basically it meant, you know, no more, no more. And when I read the scripture, it was basically God telling the people that you're complaining, you're whining, you're doing this and you're doing that. And he was like, I'm going to make sure that I give you your fill, and then I'm going to give you your fill and more. On top of that, I'm going to give you so much of your fill that you're not even going to want anymore. And basically right now, that's how people are today, where they feel as though, for some reason, that they have the right or the audacity to just, you know, keep complaining, whining, without actually not being happy with the situation they're in. Basically, you know, they were basically saying, was like, what's the point of us coming out of Egypt and I'm not even happy with the situation? But you were never happy in the situation you are when you were in Egypt. But now you're pretending to say that, you know, you'd rather, you know, you're stopping short of saying, I'd rather off, you know, I'd be happy if I was in Egypt. But that wasn't the case, you know, and that's where, you know, you say, you know, or you could say, it, you know, if you could, of all I've done, you know, and of all what I've done and what, you know, how I've done it, you really are telling me this. You really are, you know, you're sitting there on this and you're saying that you would probably have been happy in Egypt. Well, that's what, you know, happens to a lot of people. Sometimes, you know, they have that motion or that notion that for some reason, because they're out of the situation, they're just jumping out of a frying pan into the fire. And for many, that's not the case. For many, what it is that it's the case where, you know, like you say, you know, you reap what you sow. And sometimes when it's time for the harvest, you know, and you know, you want to see what's in your basket, what you have sown is what you should be able to harvest. And if you have nothing in your basket, that means you have harvest, you're reaping what you're sowing. You didn't sow anything, so you're reaping nothing. So you have the benefits of nothing. And you want to sit there and complain. Well, by sitting there and complaining, it's not going to do any good. That, you know, what it is, it's, you know, right now, you know, the season is past. But that does not mean that because the season has passed, you don't know what to do when another season comes. Okay, that means that right now you're in a state of being prepared. You know how to be prepared for the next harvest. So what you do is, before the next harvest is about to begin, you go ahead and sow. Okay, and you sow the seed. You sow the seed, so the next time the next harvest comes, that you're ready and you're prepared, because you know what it is to be showing up with an empty basket or a near empty basket, where you have sown nothing and it's time for harvest and you have nothing to show for. And that's basically what happens, you know, when we're sitting there and we're saying, you know, we want to give up, or, you know, we don't want to continue. Why? Because when it's time for you to sow, you know, and then from that time, it's time to harvest, and you have harvest nothing because you have sown nothing. And that's basically what happens with your faith in the beginning. And this ultimately what happens, and it all ties into you know, you having your faith, and then you want to rely on it, but you put nothing into your faith. Faith without works is dead. You hear it all the time. You know, I don't have to remind you. But by tying in, to what is actually, going on, and you starting to actually comprehend, and you're sitting there, like I said, when you have that empty basket, when it's harvest time, and you're looking around, and it's not time for you to be jealous. It's not time for you to say, hey, wow, how come they have a better outcome than I? How come they have a better harvest than I? Because they've sown. Okay, they planted the seed. They cultivated it. And then once it comes on. And so this goes back to my title, which is Nomos, which in translations means no more, no more. So as I get to that part, I'm going to go back into the historic part, the sports part, where therein we're talking about Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran. And as I told you, the outcome of the first fight, Roberto Duran simply wowed and wooed, and he displayed a great amount of power and a great amount of dominance in that fight, even though the fight went a distance. The judge, just like any other time when two people are competing for anybody's attention, what they can do is there's no way to actually just see, who won. You get the opinion of what happens to be judges. So at this, like I said, the Roberto Duran fight and the Sugar Ray Leonard fight, it went to the hands of the judges. And so now this is where I incorporate this part with our everyday life, where is the why, if you can, and the most possible means that you can do, why leave anything in the hands of anybody else, especially their judgment? We're human, and I know we're judgmental, but sometimes the human eye can't see a lot of things that happen in between some of the things. So the judges in that bout, they ruled in Roberto Duran's favor, which was, a great victory for him, and also a great amount of pride for Mexican-Americans, because Roberto Duran was born and raised in Mexico, and he came from a very, very hard upbringing. So to to everybody that had a hard upbringing in Mexico, it was a great inspirational story for, Roberto Duran beating Sugar Ray Leonard, which was the up-and-coming one of the greatest boxers at the time. And by that defeat, it changed the lives of both boxers. And I'll go into the story of both boxers. Before I do that, I just want to let you know how you also can be incorporated into this story right here, because it happens to us every day. Whereas though we go out and we put our performances on and we think that we're doing our very best, but we're not seeing that keen eye from somewhere where somebody's giving us a little critique. And each boxer, they had their corner, whereas though after each and every round, there's somebody that gives them advice. With Roberto Duran in the first fight, what happened is he listened to his corner guys. Sugar Ray Leonard was so mad at this guy, at some point he got frustrated. And so he refused to listen to his corner guys because he thought that, hey, you know what, this guy is nicknamed the Hands of Stone. He was like, I'm not feeling his punches. I'm going to go out there. But what he did was he was absorbing so much punishment, more punishment than he had to, that it actually looked to the judges that he was actually getting beaten. But what we later learned in the later rounds of that fight, and like I said, this fight was in 1980, where, they were doing 15 rounds. So we're talking about between rounds 3 to 8. Where it looked like he was actually getting pounded. But what he was doing was he was, doing his own thing. He was trying to actually start a brawl instead of actually fighting the guy. And sometimes when we start fighting things that we shouldn't fight, sometimes we find ourselves in trouble. just like boxers, you know, we can go into another element of the sport, which is swimming. Whereas though, when you're swimming and you feel like you're fighting a current or something, and it tells you, you know, you go lateral and swim with the current, let the current, you know, move you away until you get into a weaker part of the current, and that way you can actually go in the direction you want to go. And what was happening here in this fight was Sugar Ray Leonard was actually fighting against the current, which was his anger. He was letting into his anger. He just wasn't really, you know, actually focusing on what he was doing. And basically, he was there to box Roberto Duran, but what he was doing, he was actually flaring on this guy. He was just swinging all kinds of ways. So during this bout, like I said, at the end, the judges, you know, went to the hands of the judges. And, you know, like I give any advice to anybody where, though, if you have the power to do something, don't leave it up to someone else. And that's what we do. We're out there in the streets and we're doing things and we see things that people do, some things that people get away with. We feel that sometimes we can asphyxiate in our mind that it's okay because I saw this person do it and nothing happened to them. Well, you know what happens is that basically sometimes there may be part where, you know, we get caught, and whereas though at that point we have to get either a public defender or a lawyer. And at the end of the results, it's going to be a trial. It's either going to be judged by judges or it's going to be judged by a jury of your peers, whether you agree with who those peers are or if you agree with whoever those judges are. And that's where we find ourselves into a situation where we're saying, hell, you know what, now I was in a situation I can totally control. I made the wrong decisions, and now I have to rely on decisions of someone else. And that's what happens when we create that paradox within ourselves, where we have total control, and then all of a sudden we have the instance of no control. And then we have that feeling of being lost and wanting to give up. And so we're going to go ahead and at this point, I'm just going to go ahead and before I go into the next part of this segment of this program, and like I said, this is the sports edition of Self-Expressions, and I'm standing in the gap of Warriors of Christ for Sister Dominique Hudson. And we're just going to go ahead into the next segment, which is partially based on mostly of the second fight between Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard. Now, Sugar Ray Leonard faced defeat. And so before I go into that, I just want to let you know if you're online, if you want the phone number to call in, or if you just want to make a comment, phone number to call in is 319-527-6091. And with that being said, now we're going to go into the second fight. Now, the second fight was in New Orleans, and this happened in 1980. And I know a lot of people just can't identify with the times in 1980, but 1980 was a lot of special – it was a special time for sports. We had the Olympics going on. They were boxing in the New Orleans, actually Superdome, and it was just built. And it was built specifically for the Super Bowl that was just played that January. So this was a really big festive time, and this is going to be a real big venue. So, you know, as I was saying, Roberto Duran was from Mexico. So they traveled a lot, and they really packed, you know, that Superdome. And Sugar Ray Leonard, what happened was he made a conversion. And he made a conversion in Christ, and he said, you know, one thing he said to himself, he said that I know that I was a very good boxer. And he says, now, you know, I got you on my side. I know I'm going to be a great boxer. And he says, I know in my heart of hearts, there's no way I should have been defeated by this guy. And with that being said, Sugar Ray Leonard went back to work. And lo and behold, it was a rematch. It was, like I said, it was in 1980 in the New Orleans Superdome. Now, the outcome of this fight is a lot different than the first one. The first fight, Sugar Ray Leonard just could not display any part of his boxing skill without embarrassing himself, as looking like he was just actually being plummeted on, and he was just actually just basically there to stay out of the way. And that's what the judges saw, you know, in that first fight, and that's what their perception was. And the thing was that, you know, very rarely in a championship boxing match where you have all three judges, you know, basically seeing the one fight the same way. So on this particular night, Sugar Ray Leonard decided to just call on his faith and say, God, I know I'm a better boxer. God, I know I have the skill. And from there on, during that fight, it seemed like Sugar Ray Leonard, no matter what Roberto Duran was giving him, he was actually portraying a different boxing style. Actually, he was incorporating styles from Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Robinson, and Joe Jackson, all in one bout. And at the end of it, okay, hopefully I'm back in. Seems like the double is a lie. I don't know what happened there. All of a sudden my phone call just dropped, but, you know, we're back in there. And basically at, you know, some point I was telling you about Roberto Duran and the Sugar Ray Leonard fight and, basically the outcome of the second fight. And like I said, this was very, very much a marvelous display of boxing skills by Sugar Ray Leonard. And like I said, he incorporated a lot of different styles all in one. And basically, you know, at the end, Roberto Duran just gave up. And it was in the eighth round, and all of a sudden, during the middle of the round, you know, and Sugar Ray, you know, before that round started, Sugar Ray was in his corner saying, I'm giving this guy everything I got. I don't know what it takes for me to win. I don't know what it takes for me to knock him out. I don't know what it takes for me. Just basically, I don't know how I'm going to win this fight. He's telling his corner, I'm doing everything I can do. I've hit him with everything. I've did every style. I've did just about everything. I teased him. And he says, this guy is just, I don't think I can defeat him. And he said, you know, his corner sat there and said, you're doing great. And he's like, this is not the last fight. He says, you know, whatever you're doing, just keep it up. And he says, I don't know how long I can keep it up. And you know what his corner man says? Well, if you feel that way, how do you think he feels? And so that gave him a little bit of energy, and then he went out in that eighth round, and he went on to go ahead and, you know, just continue to tag and, you know, hit and run, everything he can do. And then finally, when they were about to mix it up, Roberto Duran said, they associated him with, the most famous words that he said, you know, no mas, no mas, which means no more, no more. The referee was, like, dumbfounded, and he tried to get him to square up in the ring again. And that's when Roberto Duran uttered the famous word, no mas, no mas. He couldn't take anymore. You know, at that point, you know, we have to understand that, you know, this is a guy that was, Mexico's national hero from winning, you know, the previous fight. Now he's looking like a quitter. He's looking like he's a defector. He looked like he betrayed his country. You know, and one of the things that we have to learn as Christians is that we don't have to sit and sacrifice ourselves for anyone's purpose. You know, at that point, you know, Roberto Duran, when he walked away and he walked out that fight, he looked like one of the weakest, one of the, you know, it's kind of funny how things turn around. And this could happen to us, too. Like, we all are at one point a Roberto Duran, where it looks like, you know, everybody's saying that I betrayed them. I'm a traitor. You know, I'm someone, I'm trash. I don't deserve to be looked at or anything like that. That's how Roberto Duran was, and he was went into a very, very big depression. What happened was he found Christ. And when he found Christ, because he hit rock bottom, Roberto Duran was a rock star in Mexico. You know, Roberto Duran was the irresistible force that could not be stopped. He proved that in the first fight, fighting Sugar Ray Leonard. But now at this point, it looked like he was a broken man, a broken fighter. You know, the only one that would rally around him was his family. You know, this story may sound familiar because this has happened to many of us. Whereas though we had certain victory on our minds and all of a sudden we face certain defeat. And, you know, it reminds me of a line in, you know, ABC Worldwide Sports that used to come on every Saturday. And one of the lines they would say was, while they were showing so many images across the screen, they were saying, the joy of victory in the agony of defeat. Well, Roberto Duran actually felt what it meant to be in the wallows of the agony of defeat, where he was on top of the world just a couple of short months ago. He was a national hero, and now they treat him like a national traitor. And through, you know, his you know, great, and at the time, that was his first professional loss. He was 72-1. You know, and he gave Sugar Ray Leonard his first loss. But even though two men at some point during the bout, whether the first fight or second fight, they both lay defeated, but they found Christ. Now, do you think that's possible? Because God doesn't throw anything away, and God does not without learning something. You know, this is, you know, what we do through our life, we have a learning experience. Like, I'm just talking about a sporting event right now. But at some point in your life, you know, you can incorporate that into where, you know, for at one instance, you leave things in the hands of other people for them to handle or for them to take care of, and some of the, you know, some of them to steer you either through or away from certain things. When you say, hey, you know what, I'll leave it in their hands. This is your life. And like I said, sometimes we may incorporate into being a judge or a jury. If you can do it, do it. Don't waste your ability. Now we're looking at a guy, second time where he had certain victory, he's laying in defeat. And what Roberto Duran did was he basically introduced Christ into Mexico at the region where he was at, which was near the Tijuana border, where, if you know, that's sort of like a party town. And people would ask Roberto Duran, they would say, hey, man, wow, you were on top of the world. Now look at you. And he says, yeah, look at me. And he says, I have what I need. He says, I have my family and I have God. He says, I'm still living, I'm still breathing. He said, I can fight another day. Antagonizing and say, well, you know, you're gonna go ahead and fight him again. You know, one of the best things is that there was a third fight between Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran. The best thing about it was that I'm not going to tell you the outcome. That's going to be an assignment if you really want to know, and you really want to know where their story ultimately ended. It's a great thing to learn on your own, and because there's a lot of times I've you know, have given out Bible scriptures and I say, hey, you know, read that chapter. Well, you know, there's Google and YouTube for you to do the research. It doesn't have to be a hard research, but part three, you know, like I said, it's truly an amazing culmination. And you would want to, you know, you want to ask yourself, well, what happened? You know, we got two men of God now boxing. You know, what's going to be the ultimate outcome? Is, you know, the guy that won the first fight going to be there, or the guy that won the second fight? You know, who's going to be the ultimate winner? You know, that's something for you to decide if you want to know. And the reason why I'm not giving the outcome of that bout, because there's a lot of times there's going to be a lot of back and forth where we seem to have victory and we seem to have defeat. One of the best things of, you know, not knowing a certain outcome is your effort and what you're going to do. You know, these two guys, and like I said, this happened in 1980, and, you know, right, you know, at this point in 1981 was the third fight. But no one can get out of their head what happened in the second fight when Roberto Duran uttered the words, no mas, no mas. They just didn't understand. Even right now today, it's kind of funny that, you know, I'm talking about boxers that were boxing in the 80s. Mike Tyson, the great boxer Mike Tyson, he said that he admired Roberto Duran for giving up. And he said the reason why was because there was no way that he was going to beat Sugar Ray Leonard. And he said he thought it was very honorable of him to just give up and to just, you know, embarrass himself. Because basically what Sugar Ray Leonard was doing was he basically was embarrassing him. He was no longer boxing. You know, and that last round before, you know, he uttered the words no mas, Sugar Ray Leonard's boxing corner, they told him, you know, you're embarrassing the guy, you know. It was like, you know, you're doing everything you can. And Sugar Ray Leonard kept shaking his head, No, I haven't. And basically Sugar Ray Leonard was fighting the battle where he thought that he couldn't beat him, but he was still going to display all that he could. And like I said, you know, there are times when we think that we're not doing the things that we're doing, and there are some times where we leave the ultimate decision that we have, which is the control of ourselves, where we can use our maximum effort and not rely on somebody else's judgment. And that's what Sugar Ray Leonard did, because the first fight, the only mistake he made was he relied on himself being the former champion, that he had to respect, and that the judges should respect him being a former champion, and that the effort he did was good enough to win the fight, but the judges didn't see it that way. So here in this fight, at the eighth round, he's given everything he's got. And he's still thinking in his mind, which he should have thought in the first fight, was I should give everything I can to win this fight. And lo and behold, he didn't have to knock the guy out or anything, or didn't have to get to the judge's hands. The guy basically gave up. He gave up the fight. What I'm asking you is, are you giving up the fight? Are you putting your best effort forward? And like I told you, it's guaranteed in the Bible. You got to read it. Success is certain. There are a lot of times where we expect something to be given to us. We assume that we're seeing through somebody else's eyes. But how many people left a courtroom thinking that they want to be having freedom? They didn't think they would want to be in handcuffs and pinstripes or, you know, orange suits or whatever. You know, they don't have that show, Orange is the New Black, for no reason. You know, they have that show there because there's a lot of people that's in jail, that's incarcerated. There was no way, whether they're innocent or guilty, that what they were going to say or they were going to portray to somebody, that they couldn't see it through their eyesight. But people are very unpredictable. They have very different, depending on, you know, where you're at and who you're with. But sometimes you cannot identify with everybody with, you know, what your struggles and what your problems is. And that's why you put your best foot forward. You know, you don't put your best foot forward through your eyesight. You put your best foot forward basically being an ambassador of yourself. You're basically, you know, if you look at everyone like you're a foreigner, I know you've probably seen this a hundred times where you see a foreigner trying to communicate with you. They're talking their native language, but they know that we're in the United States and we predominantly speak English. But yet they're trying to enforce their words for you to learn their words so they can understand what they need to know. But the problem there is that it's the way you're looking at it. Some people look at it like you in my country, you should learn English. But if you look at the big picture, the whole thing is predicated on the United States. There's no official language. So why do you think this guy is assuming that you should be able to learn his language? You know, there are a lot of countries that have the criteria of learning three or four languages in that country, even though their official language is like, say, Spain is Spanish. They have a criteria of learning English, French, German, and I forgot the language, the official language, but the Netherlands language, that language. Sorry about that little mix-up, but I'll probably get the proper understanding. But, you know, you get my point. So when people come in this country, they come with a premise that this is a free country, and they expect that, you know, they've probably been traveled, especially they've been traveled in Europe, where these countries require the citizens as children to learn in more than one language. And basically the languages around, you know, their countries. So when they come here and we're looking at them weird, they're looking at us even weirder. Like, okay, I came here all this way. This is the great America I came here. And I'm looking at these people, and they only know their native tongue, the, you know, the English, but there is no official language. I'm, you know, nobody's required here to learn an official language. But here, you know, we have a problem of communicating because you don't know my language, and I know a little bit your language, or I know none of it, or I know French and German, but I don't know English, and we can't have no common ground. And this is the greatest country, so now we're looking at his eyesight and how he looks at us. We're looking at him totally different. But to him, you know, we're like totally like, this is not the place I thought I was going to. And that's basically how it is. We're trying to work out our common, you know, the common denominator in our life and our factor. And the common denominator is that we're not actually looking at, you know, what's going through someone else's eyes or placing ourselves in someone's shoes. We're still remaining in our shoes, and we just can't get out of it because we're so comfortable, and we just refuse to know that, you know, we're looking at ourselves as victors and saying, huh, this guy just came here all the way, and he can't speak English. But it's like this. You have a country that opens up to every nationality, and I know right now, today, you know, we're not want to focus on the president. That's a different story. That's just one person. He's a figurehead right now at this point. But country that's open to all nationalities and all languages, all religions, all race, but you know nothing about anybody to come into your country or someone that potentially may want to communicate with you. I'm just going to end on that note right there real quickly. I'm just going to go on the call of salvation. And if you just want to get closer to Christ, you know, one of the things you can do is you can just let Christ know that you want him to be part and incorporated in your life. You know, what you want to do is you want to make sure that not only, you know, we cannot see and understand what God does or how he does it or how he thinks or how he moves. Only thing we can do is make sure we're accepted of him. And the basic thing we want to do is we want to basically surrender to him and say, Father God, you know, all through my life, I've done everything I could to better myself or I thought I was better or I would come out on top. Without incorporating you in my life now, God, I want to incorporate you in my life. I want you to know that I accept you. I accept the great sacrifice you have done. You have set your only begotten Son to die on the cross for my sins. And you say, Father God, I thank you. I surrender. I surrender to your every movement, to your every thought, to your every will. Once you do that, you're a child. You're a child of God. You know, you're His. You turn to a new leaf in life, and you're going to move on. You're going to say the no mas to all the things that stop you from connecting to God. You're going to say no more, no more, no more. All that crazy incorporated life. You want to make sure you're going to take this seriously. You're going to do it. You're going to take that step. And once you said, you admit it with your tongue. That's it. It's final. It's that bond with you and God. And once you've done that, like I said, welcome to the kingdom. And we thank you so much. You know, if you want to just, one of the good ways you want to do it, you want to admit with your tongue and let somebody know that you're part of God's kingdom. And you can call your mom, call your friend, call your best friend, post it on Facebook. Do what you got to do. Shout at the top of your lungs. Do what you got to do. Just admit it with your tongue. And just let someone know. If you need someone to just talk to, you'll have a you know, a friend right now, you know, you just come here at Purpose Kingdom Network. You can just email us. You can email us at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. You can send your comments, questions, concerns, and like you just did, you can just let us know that you turned your life over. You know, please join us each and every night that you're able to. We just thank you for joining us tonight for our 980th episode, and you know we got 20 episodes more until we get to 1,000. So please continue to listen to us, and if you want to listen to, you know, if you just want to listen to something, You know, you can listen to our past and previous broadcasts. You know, the www.blogtalkradio.com/Clippers Kingdom. Where you can simply type in the host name or the show name, or just listen to our whole catalog. We got 3 seasons there so far, and we thank you so much for doing that. And we also thank you for supporting us. No matter where you are in the world, we love our online listeners. And don't forget, at any time you want to call in, the phone number to call in is 319-527-6091. We really thank and appreciate you. You know, we just appreciate you just being there for part of the conversation. And like I said, at any time, just call in. And with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for the Healing Hour with Reverend Arthur Burgeon III. And once again, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for the Healing Hour with Reverend Arthur Burgeon III. And we thank you so much for supporting us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. As always, don't forget to tell a friend about, you know, your experience here at Purpose Kingdom Network. Thank you so much, and we're going to resume the rest of the program, and then we're going to close out. Okay, now, just, you know, to say a few things, you know, in closing, you know, just the word "I give up," you know, it's basically a sign of surrendering. It's a sign of yes, I'm giving it, I'm giving way. But it doesn't have to be in a negative idea. And that's what Roberto Duran, you know, realized when he went back home to Mexico and he was basically surrounded by his family. Everybody shunned him away. And one of the things that we like I said, we turn, you know, some of our defeats into our greatest victories, because we don't wallow, and God hasn't made it for us to be dwelling on defeat. He wants us to reach out and reach forward for victory. So even in defeat, we do have the victory. The victory is mine. You know, real quickly, I'm just going to go and just talk about how we don't have to look at, you know, saying, you know, I give up or no more. You know, no more. You know, it started, you know, basically in the promise of Genesis, and we go to Genesis 12, chapter 3, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And it's basically saying no more light. And in Revelation 22, verses 5, and there should be no night. Sorry, I actually mixed that up. Basically, in Revelation 22 and 5, and there should be no light there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And that's basically no more night. And that's promised in the Bible, and that was in Revelation 22, 5. And, you know, as we move on, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So basically, it's like, you know, there's going to be no more death, you know. And, you know, in conclusion, life is short. Death is sure. Sin is the curse. Christ is the cure. You know, and we have to, we all go back to saying, you know, I need to be fixed, or I have problems, or I just need that one thing. And basically, no matter what situation you are, if you don't have Christ in your life, Christ is the cure. And that's what you have to understand. That's what Sugar Ray Leonard learned. Sugar Ray Leonard learned that no matter how hard he fought in the first fight, no matter how much he did, he didn't have that centerpiece. He didn't have that one thing in his corner, which was Christ. You know, everyone said that when Sugar Ray Leonard lost that fight, they couldn't figure out how he lost that fight. And basically, when they seen his second fight, everyone swore up and down that he fought the same way. But you know what happened? There was a one measurable we couldn't measure. We couldn't measure how one does when Christ is 100% in their corner. He's not predictable. He moves in different ways. He does different things. Who would have thought of the fighter named Roberto Duran, the hands of stone, the man that has never been defeated, someone that was, you know, at the time, Mexico's best hero, the best hero ever. If you want to say, you know, what the equivalent he was the equivalent to, he was Mexico's Superman, a man that was so idolized at that time, especially defeating Sugar Ray Leonard, that no one could tell him anything. And that was part of his downfall. And don't forget, even though two men had faced defeat at different times, Christ brought two men together. And it wasn't basically to do battle. It was to learn about oneself. So basically, you could say that Sugar Ray Leonard learned in the first defeat that he needed Christ in his life. And you could say in the second fight, when Roberto Duran went home, he figured out that a man without Christ has nothing. The only thing he had was his family. And he realized all that idolization. And he was saying, you know, here today, going tomorrow. He was built up to be a national hero, and he got tore down the second he lost that title. And what did that go to show you? Nothing makes a man like Christ. And if you got Christ in your life, you know, man or woman, there's nothing like having Christ in your life and Christ in your corner. Because guess what? No matter what victory you have, and no matter what defeat you have, Christ is always there. Christ is always going to make sure you learn a lesson, and he's going to elevate you. And this is what he's done to both men. And no matter who you think or who you rooted for, these guys are both winners as far as I'm concerned, and especially their families. And like I said, if you want to know who won that third fight, does it really matter? These guys won already before they put that third fight. They didn't have to fight that third fight. That third fight wasn't even as iconic as the first two. The third fight is not even worth watching. If you want to waste your time, you want to waste, I think it's about an hour and 15 minutes, you can go ahead and YouTube or Google it up or just find out. But like I said, as far as I'm concerned, there's already two winners before that third fight was there. And like I always tell you guys, I like doing this. I like broadcasting. Love doing this. Love doing what I can do for Purpose Kingdom. Can't wait till we do something for our 1,000th episode. And, you know, as always, you know, I don't mind or anytime, you know, filling in for somebody. I love filling in for Warriors of Christ. This has been Self-Expression, the sports edition. And I've been your host, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson. Another 2 weeks, Sister Dominique Hudson will be back here, and it should be in no time. So if you miss Dominique, just wait two more weeks, and you will see her, and she will be on Warriors of Christ. We thank you so much for allowing me to invite you tonight to just hear me out and just hear my sports edition of Self-Expression. I thank you so much. Can't imagine doing anything else different than this. Especially on a night like tonight. And like I said, thanks so much. It's been fun. It's been real. Deuces.
Jesus led.
He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me. I will not lose. Set me free. I will not lose.
Never want to see me down. I will not lose.
He saved me.